Now we will read, please, from the third chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis and chapter 3. Begin reading at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee, that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Now God will bless this reading, this portion of his word. I would like to notice a question which is often mentioned in gospel meetings. In verse 9 of our chapter tonight, God's call to Adam. Where art thou? One thing that cheers me as I read this passage, for it is rather a depressing passage to read, when you read of the history of this first man and first woman, that she fell under the subtlety, being deceived. The Bible explains that Eve was deceived by the devil. You know what the Lord Jesus said about the devil when he was here? He said he's a liar and a murderer. And this is the very first expression in the human race of the reality of those words. The devil was out to see Adam and Eve dead. And he lied to them. He said, Ye shall not surely die. And the moment they took of it, they began to die. Because God had said they would. It's a solemn passage. It's sad. You and I are the sons of daughters of that couple. And we're tarred with the same stick. We've got a problem. We're sinners. We're dying sinners. It's a sad story to read. But there's a bright note in it. And I would like to point it out to you tonight, friend. And that's the reason that we're here. We have proved this bright note to be true. And it is the blessed fact that God is seeking sinners. Oh, how precious. What a mercy. What a grace. God could have wiped them right off the slate and said, away with them. We'll start all over. But no, God, rather than put the poor sinner in what his sins deserves, down in the awfulness of his wrath, in a place called hell, which God had created for the devil, God seeks the sinner, and he wants to forgive him. It's sad, isn't it, to think that the poor old sinner didn't recognize the character of his own creator. And rather than coming out in the open, he ran away. And you know, his sons and daughters have been doing the same ever since. That's one of the reasons it's so hard to get people to come to a meeting like this. Maybe, friend, you've been a little reluctant to come yourself. And you've just, you know how it is, you know, you just kind of, there's just something within every one of us. I was the same. I did not like to sit in gospel meetings, especially when the preaching came close and began to touch my conscience. I didn't like it. I squirmed. Didn't like it. Just like my old father Adam. I'd sooner have hid from God than respond. And so tonight I want to notice with you a little concerning God's seeking of sinners. Where art thou, Adam? Sometimes this question is called a question of location. For men and women to find out where they are. Now I would like you to notice, I would like to apply this question in three ways. First of all, where art thou, Adam, in relation to Satan? That was something that Adam had not realized until God reveals it to him, what his relationship to Satan was. Where art thou, Adam, in relation to God's word? For that's where his problem lay, what he had done with God's word. And then, where art thou, Adam, in relation to God's blessing? God desired to bless him, but he was going the wrong way to get it. Until dear Adam became honest with God, he could never be forgiven. First of all, then, I would like you to look at this question and be very sure one thing, friend. This is not a question of politics, nor is it a question of religion, nor is it a question of social standing or of morality. This is a question of a spiritual standing and position and relationship that God has in mind. Where art thou? Now let me address myself to all the sons of Adam here tonight and say to you who are males in this audience before me, where art thou in relation to Satan, in relation to God's word, and in relation to God's salvation? Where art thou? Now let me speak to those who are female here tonight and ask you, dear ladies and young girls who are in this meeting tonight, where art thou? What is your relationship to the devil? I say, I hope it's not very much. Well, I sincerely hope, my friend, that you find out what poor Adam and Eve found out that day. Where art thou in relation to God's word? Well, what I want you to notice is their relationship to God's word determined their destiny for eternity. A very, very solemn choice that Adam and Eve made, and they didn't take time to weigh up the consequences. Their relationship to God's word determined their eternal destiny. First of all, where art thou in relation to sin? Now it is very evident as we, from the passage that we have read, that Satan is absolutely superior to humanity, both in intellect and in subtlety. Satan, friend, you and I are no match for him. It's absolute folly to argue with the devil. It's absolute foolishness to think that you and I, who are the sons of Adam and Eve, that we are able to outwit the devil. The devil will outwit every man and woman if he can. He outwitted our mother Eve. He outwitted Adam. And he's out to do you too, friend. Thank God for the wonder of the Word of God that reveals the ways of the devil. And dear Paul, when he wrote to the people in his day, to a number of people to whom he had preached God's way of salvation, he said concerning the devil, we're not ignorant of his devices. The devil is subtle. The devil is a liar. The devil is a murderer. And he's out to see every one of the sons and daughters of Adam that it's possible to ensnare. He's out to see them in hell with himself forever. That's what he's after. And that's what he was doing in the garden. He was after that man. He wanted to see Adam suffering with himself in hell. He wanted to see that woman separated forever from God, lost to God forever. And in the wickedness of his sinister being, he enters that garden with one evil purpose before him. To get that woman's ear. To get that man to disobey God. For he knew that God would keep his word even though he lied about it. And I want to say to you tonight, my friend, that ought to be a word of warning for every one of us sons and daughters of Adam here tonight. were no match for the devil. When there comes into your mind and heart a word that puts doubt as to the word of God into your mind, maybe you should listen to gospel preaching as you have perhaps in the past. You've said to yourself, well, it can't be all that drastic. I want to tell you, friend, that's one of the devil's lies. That's exactly what he said to Eve. He said, it can't be that drastic. You'll not die. That's a lie from hell to deceive men. I want to tell you, friend, tonight, it's far greater. The condemnation and the awfulness of divine judgment is far greater than our capacity to take in. It's worse than the devil would ever make it out to be. The devil lied. And friend, he's out to cheat you out of God's blessing. He's out to see you suffer for your own sin. He's out to see you damned under the wrath of God. And he will subtly deceive you if you will let him. You know, the Lord Jesus revealed a number of things when he was here on earth about the devil. He said that the devil is like a strong man with a palace. And he casts a moat about that palace, the old castle type palace, as you could imagine. And he has guards about that palace. And he says he keeps his goods in peace. And the Lord Jesus interprets that. This world is like the palace. And men and women are his goods. And the devil is night and day doing his level best to keep men undisturbed about their spiritual need. Just keep them at peace. Keep them safe within his fold. Oh, may I ask you, friend, have you been deceived by the subtlety of this sinister one? Have you been closing your ear to the truth of the Word of God and not allowing the call of God, Adam, where art thou? You've been running away from it. Perhaps closing your ear to it, not facing up to the fact of it. The devil keeps his goods in peace. And you know, again, the Lord Jesus reminds us in his word that the devil is like a nurse with a babe. And you've seen the little babe that frets, and the nurse takes it, or the mother takes it to nurse that little child as it frets. And she will hold it to herself, and she will rock that little babe and quieten it, and perhaps hum a little tune to it, or sing a little chorus. And finally the little babe settles down and its fears are quieted and it ceases to weep. It's been put to sleep. Soon its little eyelids close and its little head will lie quietly against its mother. It's been put to sleep. This is what God says. The whole world lies in the bosom. I wonder if there's not some in this meeting tonight and God has touched your heart in the past and the call of God has reached you. But you've been put to sleep by the subtlety of the devil. You're not disturbed tonight about your sins. You're not disturbed about your condition. Young man, you should be disturbed about your sinfulness. You may not feel sinful. You may not touch the wicked sins that many do that are immoral in the world. But nonetheless, you are far from God as a son and a daughter of Adam. You are a sinner that needs to be saved. And the devil will rock you to sleep in his arms with the whole purpose of seeing you lost in eternal fire forever. Where art thou in relation to Satan? Now just let me ask you kindly, friend. Has the devil been successful in deceiving you? Maybe you think that you're all right. Maybe you think that you don't need to be disturbed about your need. Maybe you've been disturbed and he's rocked you back to sleep. Maybe, my friend, through pleasure or friendships, the devil has been keeping you in his palace. He keeps you quiet, keeps you safe. Oh, be wise tonight. Let God's word enlighten you to recognize the devil has deceived you and he's out to destroy you. Where art thou in relation to God's word? Poor Adam. You know, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, that God gave Adam a restriction. You know, our wicked natures, we would say that we don't want any restriction. We don't want any fences. But you know, when you stop to think of it, Adam would never have developed his will if he didn't have to make a choice.
And that's why God gave him a restriction. He wanted that man to make a right choice.
He disobeyed God's word. You know, my friend, there's no one in all the universe that loves your person and loves your eternal welfare more than God himself. Do you know that the Bible reveals that God would have every man to be saved and to be in heaven? That's what the Bible says. We can tell you, my dear friend, man or woman in this meeting, we can tell you with an open Bible and from the depth of our heart tonight, without any fear of being contradicted, that God wants to enjoy you in heaven forever. And he's made every provision that you might be prepared for heaven. He loves you tonight, and he's seeking you.
But the great question is, what are you doing with his word that tells you of his love, that tells you of your need, that tells you of the way of salvation? What are you doing with his word? Adam disobeyed it. The word of God says, Eve was deceived, and Adam disobeyed. I ask you kindly, what have you been doing with God's word about your sin? Now God says you've sinned. And that sin is a barrier between you and heaven. That sin is a barrier between you and God. You cannot fellowship with God because you have sinned. You cannot go to heaven because you have sinned. My friend, salvation is having sin removed. The barrier taken away. Forgiven. Righteously and eternally. That's what salvation is. Now what have you done with God's word about your sin? You see, Adam didn't believe the consequences of disobedience. He didn't believe that. If he'd believed that, he never would have taken that fruit. Neither would have Eve. They didn't believe God. They didn't take it to heart that God would keep his word. That God's word will be carried out at whatever the price. Oh, friend, tonight, let me appeal to you. Have you been neglecting God's word? Have you been reasoning with God's word? Have you been doubting God's word? Then I say to you kindly, you're in a perilous position. You need to respond to this question. Where art thou? God wanted Adam to come out into the open and acknowledge, I have sinned, I have disobeyed God's word. He had to do it. The first thing he did, of course, was he tried to blame his wife. And most people try to blame others. We're all like that, aren't we? My, I would say, you know, circumstances were a little different. I wouldn't have done this, or this wouldn't have happened. And, you know, if somebody hadn't have done this to me, then I certainly wouldn't have responded that way. Listen, my friend, God is not going to hold you responsible for your neighbor's sins. But I'm going to tell you, he's going to hold you responsible for your own. You disobeyed God's word. Poor Adam, see him as he cowers behind the tree. His conscience is smitten. He's got a sword in his conscience. I know what that's like. Maybe you know what that's like, friend. And as you go to your work, you have a guilt, a complex of guilt because of your sin against God. And when you come to a meeting like this, it seems as though you're so uncomfortable within yourself. And there's a sort of a battle going on inside. And your sins bother you, and you don't like being reminded of those sins. I know what the problem is. You know what it is, friend? God is calling you. Where art thou, Adam? Where art thou? Poor Adam. You can almost see him as he squirms behind that tree to make sure he's covered up. And he hears the call again, Adam, where art thou? And he begins to sweat. You're going to have to face it. Finally, he bows his will and he steps out from behind the tree. Says, I heard thy voice. I heard thy voice. Oh, I hope tonight there's a soul in this meeting who hears the voice of God. Where art thou? Ensnared by the devil. Disobedient to God's word. Where art thou, Adam, in relation to God's blessing, to God's presence? Let me tell you, friend, this is where the point of the wonderful mercy and the kindness of God comes in. You know, one thing that dear Adam didn't realize about God was not looking for Adam in order to give him a lick. That's what he deserved, my He deserved it.
He deserved to be punished by God. But God was looking for him in order to tell him of the way of forgiveness. And poor Adam didn't recognize it. Oh, friend, tonight, don't run away from God. Don't hide your soul from the searchlight of the Word of God. When the voice of God reaches you and you've been hiding, you know well that you've been running away from God. You seldom open the Bible to read its pages to find the way of salvation. You seldom come to a gospel meeting and make your way to the meeting deliberately and put it first in order to get this matter of your salvation settled. Why, if it's convenient, you might come to please a friend. But to see that God is calling me and He wants to bless me, you've never faced it. Oh, friend, that's the reason for gospel meetings. To tell men and women that God is calling them because His hands are filled with blessing. He yearns to give you forgiveness. The God of the Bible, friend, has devised a righteous means that you might be forgiven. Where art thou? Don't hide any longer. Don't run away, dear man, dear woman, young man, young woman. Bow to the voice of God. Come out into the open. Dear Adam, see him as with his wife Eve. He steps out from behind the tree. And there he is.
He says, well, I was afraid because I was naked. One thing is very sure from that passage, isn't it? Nakedness is a shame. I wish our present generation would believe God. But I want to say to everyone in this audience tonight, there was far more to it than that. Dear Adam recognized, I disobeyed God and I've got to face up with it. Face to face with God for sin. Let me say to you, friend, if you would only get down to business with God on your sin, you'd find that God has a means of forgiveness. He has a means of cleansing. He has a means of justification, to save, to reconcile. God does not want to see you die in your sin like you were born. He does not want to see you die as you have lived without His forgiveness. He wants you to come in response to the gospel. The Word of God says to obey the gospel. What does it mean? To obey the voice of God. God is calling sinners to Himself. He wants to forgive, friend. And the only basis whereby God could forgive Adam and Eve was by the first death in the world. God had to slay an animal. Blood had to be shed. A life must be given for a guilty sinner if there's going to be reconciliation to God. And my friend, that's the reason Calvary's working. That's the reason for the blood of Christ. That's the reason for the sufferings of the Savior. God has found a righteous satisfaction for His justice in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. And the Bible says, Christ died for our sins. On that basis tonight, God is calling the sinner. He wants you to come just as you are. Don't try to make yourself better, for you cannot. Come as you are, a sinner, disobedient, captive to the devil, powerless in your sin. Come in response to the gospel call. And God's word says, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He will gladly forgive the sinner that responds, gladly cleanse the vileness of your sin. Every sinner, young or old, that will respond to His call, where art thou? Oh, come out into the open. Acknowledge your need. And God, on the basis of the work of His beloved Son, will gladly forgive you, save your guilty soul, and fit you for heaven, even tonight. So I ask you, friend, as I sit down at this point in the meeting, I want to ask you now, where art thou in relation to the devil? Are you his captive? Then you need to come out into the open with God, or you'll never be in heaven. You'll die a captive of the devil and be lost in hell.
Where art thou in relation to God's word? You know you've disobeyed it. You know that you've sinned against it. Then, friend, be honest with God. Don't hide from it, or you'll die in your sin and be lost forever. Where art thou in relation to God's blessing? Let me tell you, friend, if you'd respond to God's call tonight, you could be saved and forgiven for all eternity, all because the precious Savior of sinners died at Calvary, shed His precious blood, and you could receive God's forgiveness if you would only respond to God's call and come as a sinner to Jesus tonight.